During the course of this week, as we so often do, your host Welton Gaddy and I were talking about some of the headlines that are getting attention and some that aren't getting attention across the nation. Because one particular big story that doesn't seem to be getting attention has to do specifically with broadcasting, it made sense to both of us to bring that story on the air as we broadcast this week's State of Belief Radio. The BBC reported on June 20th that the new chief of the U.S. federal media agency, a Trump appointee, has sacked three senior officials, raising fears that the networks will be politicized. Michael Pack, a conservative filmmaker and former associate of ex-White House advisor Steve Bannon, has also begun to install Trump loyalists at the notoriously independent agency. The U.S. Agency for Global Media is a taxpayer-funded body that oversees global broadcasters, including Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Radio Free Asia, and Middle East Broadcasting. The global audience counts 280 million people, and the agency was created in 1942 to combat Nazi propaganda. The director of Voice of America and her deputy resigned after Mr. Pack was confirmed by the Senate. The heads of Radio Free Europe, Radio Free Asia, and Middle East Broadcasting, as well as the Open Technology Fund, were kicked out. The president recently criticized Voice of America, calling its reporting disgusting and accusing it of spreading propaganda in favor of China. A number of longtime advisory board members have also been removed, and Mr. Pack is now the chairman of these outlets' boards of directors. Observers have been particularly concerned by Jonathan Alexander being added to the board of Radio Free Asia. He's a policy director for Liberty Council, designated as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center for its opposition to LGBT rights. So it's pretty clear why a lot of people find reason for concern in these recent actions, and it's pretty amazing how little attention that's gotten in the mainstream press and on Capitol Hill. This touched me personally because many years ago, as the child of refugees from Lithuania, I was recruited to work for Voice of America Radio Liberty. That was in the final year before the collapse of the Soviet Union, and it would have brought me to Munich, Germany at a very young age. It's a powerful thing to think about how many millions of people in the Soviet Union, in Nazi Germany, in captive nations paralyzed by World War II, individuals found hope and belief that a different kind of life was possible through the unbiased, democracy-promoting, trusted services that were Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and the associated broadcasts, all of which have now lost the trusted journalistic leadership that made them what they were for the better part of a century. Welton, you have spent time on the air with these services. So what are the thoughts that crossed your mind when you first heard this news?
You know, actually, Ray, I was shocked. I could not imagine anyone wanting to put any flaw or difference in the kind of way we were reaching out to the world with very positive and encouraging messages that were true. I have always taken pride in the fact that our nation has been offering good news on the radio for people who want and need the information and the hopefulness that is available to them. And I've been grateful for that during crisis periods in our nation long before I ever thought about being in Washington, D.C. When I went to Washington to be president of Interfaith Alliance, in time, I got in contact with the people in these broadcasting places, and they began to say, can't we do some things together, which I was glad to do. And so I had the privilege of working for several of the various broadcasts to different parts of the world. Once the broadcasters knew that I could be trusted, which they needed to know, they turned to me for some suggestions for programs and other information as well as for guests on the broadcasts.
You know, the thing that a lot of people probably don't know is that the outreach of these services was not just secular or political, but clearly, as you experienced, there was a whole component of religious freedom and ecumenism that was part and parcel of these American government-sponsored broadcasts.
You know, there was here on those broadcasts, like in interviews that I did around the world during this time, there's always interest in religious freedom because religious freedom had been so distinguished and so important in our land. On holidays and holy days, for religions and for secular interests, they had me on. I can remember right now a wonderful conversation that went on, and I was there with some other clergy people, and we talked about the holidays in December. And what was interesting about that was for people from other lands being exposed to the fact that it's not all about Christianity, and that there would be no reason, the way we celebrated in our land, there would be no reason for them to think that we were putting down someone in order to lift up the religions that we had. And so I had the opportunity to talk about the meaning and importance and implications of these special occasions. And it was, I could see it on the faces of the people in the broadcast community. They were being really pleased for other people to hear this. Let me tell you another moment that just really stands out in my mind. It was a broadcast meant to talk about the winds of war blowing through America and in the Middle East. And I'll never forget the feeling I had when the person who was hosting the show said, Dr. Gaddy, I want you now just to talk to the people in the Middle East and tell them what you're feeling and what you think is happening in this very critical time. And so I had the opportunity to assure people in various religions in the Middle East to know these voices from this place are working hard to erase hate. We have no interest in getting conflict going in order to, if someone thinks that's going to be good for our nation. And I just have to say, Ray, the Voice of America and all of its components has given people hope as well as information that raised people's spirits with voices from a land that was being criticized by lies that needed to be erased. I cannot even fathom how anyone would tamper with this good outreach and risk taking away from the people who trusted us and knew that they could go to these places and always hear the truth and be encouraged and sometimes even be hopeful in a way that they had never been hopeful before. To get rid of that, I think, is unforgivable.
So, to be partisan for a moment, the reports are that Steve Bannon was in charge of this work. He has been ensconced in Italy. And Americans in general, and certainly the American mainstream press, are notoriously unaware of what's happening beyond the nation's borders. I have the unfair advantage of living almost a decade now outside of the United States. So I get to see it from both sides because my work is, as ever, in Washington, D.C. But when you look at how much of a warning there was, it was several months ago that there were stories that the president found unsatisfying that he criticized these broadcast services as not doing what the taxpayer supposedly is paying them for, that they were generating fake news. That warning came. Months went by, and I don't see anyone having taken that opportunity to build a firewall or to see this as an important threat against an important resource. And that, to me, is a failing of the opposition and the so-called resistance, if there is one within the American government right now.
And it's also scary. I mean, that's why, as you and I talked about it this past week, I found also that there are very few people that even know there is a huge transition. I mean, everybody that was working in this place has been fired, and they're going to start again with another kind of programming. Now, we both know, and other people know, that the religion talk that will come across the waves now will be related to the religious right. And instead of hearing the way in which we can cooperate with each other, I am afraid that the listeners will be hearing someone trying to change their mind about the kind of religion they have. And when it comes to the secular part of this, I can very easily see, and anyone who has been around for the last 2 or 3 years would see as well, that instead of getting news, we may be getting one person's views of what America ought to be. And I have to say, that would take away my confidence in what was being said about religion and what was being said about politics, and to put those together, what would be said over the voice of America about peace.
With so many authoritarian governments taking over in different parts of the world, it's ironic that the service is probably as important today as it has been since the waning years of the Cold War, with the kind of governments we see taking over in Poland and Hungary and many other places where the mechanisms of democracy are being leveraged to install what are clearly anti-democratic populist governments that basically rely on ignorance on the part of voters to make sure that they get the kind of support that they want. And this just goes hand in glove with not immediately ending the service, but my goodness, you just put on a few political partisan stories, and the credibility of these independent journalistic enterprises funded by the taxpayer and until now independently overseen by the Broadcasting Board of Governors, which is what the organization was called that was always in charge of these international broadcasts to keep them from being political, will never be able to be returned to the kind of credibility that they've had for 70 years. Because once it's seen as political, even if there is a Democratic government in the United States elected in this November, and let's say that some other kind of leadership is installed, that will still be seen as partisan. It'll be seen as liberal partisan, and the mission will be accomplished. There will be no more authoritative voice of reason, Walter Cronkite style, as the world has been able to rely on for all of these decades.
And you know, Ray, what happens is these people that have been dreaming of democracy and longing for that kind of government, along with religious freedom, are going to say eventually, as they hear that, they don't have it either.
Which plays so well into the hands of leaders like Vladimir Putin, where the only thing they have to do is convince their masses that there's nobody else who has it better, so you might as well just celebrate and rally around our own flag.
I don't have enough passion to say to our listeners, follow up on what we're talking about, look it up, read about what is happening there, and talk to others about it so that eventually people with voices louder than ours will be talking to people who have to pay attention to them, and maybe we can save something that really needs to be saved.
Welton, thank you for letting me step to the microphone this time around on State of Belief Radio, and all I can say is another broadcast service that this president has threatened repeatedly has been National Public Radio and public television. So that is another warning that really should be taken seriously enough to at least have some contingency plans in case there comes a day that that comes under direct attack.
Couldn't agree with you more. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, let me say a very sincere thank you. Your generous support of this program is vital to keeping us on the air. If you think there's value in what you've heard here just now, and you think it's important that others hear it as well, please make your contribution today. Find more information at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And do you know someone who you think might benefit from hearing what you're hearing? I know you do. So please commit to sharing State of Belief with just one person this week. With so many of us struggling with isolation, it can be very helpful to hear encouraging words and civil conversations around the issues that all of us care about the most. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.